Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, Lance Moody, skeptic, joins us. He's a very active poster at forum.theparacast.com, blogs a lot. And Chris asked him the great R question about religion and
belief. This is really important because I think we're seeing the slow kind of evolution and founding of a new religious belief system. It was based around aliens and UFOs, which I find rather distasteful myself. But I was just trying to get a sense of where you draw the line in terms of suspending disbelief. Obviously, when you're watching Men in Black, your emotional body is buying into the plot, but your rational mind is going, hey, this is a movie. Some people have a harder time doing that, Lance. And when it comes to things that have meaning in people's lives, such as religious belief in their you know, the control structure, the politics and the politicians that are governing their lives, the judicial system. There are certain things that your culture forces you to believe. And with the disillusion and you know, these old, outmoded, controlled religious structures seem to be crumbling around us with, you know, these wars and you know, it's just getting ridiculous. People are striving for something to hold on to and believe in. What are your feelings about that? Do you think we're seeing the kind of the slow development of a new sort of religious belief?
You know, I don't think it's new. I mean,
religion is a hard word to throw in there, but
yeah, I don't think it's new. I think always these kinds of thoughts, the ideas of, for instance, conspiracies, which I think really are sort of a twin brother to the paranormal belief, conspiracy beliefs. I think these beliefs give people something. I mean, I think with conspiracies, I think it gives people a feeling that they understand the world maybe better than they really do. And maybe the same thing's happening with paranormal belief. Maybe it comforts people to know that there's something fantastic in their lives. I think, personally, you know, that looking out at the stars is a pretty fantastic thing, but for a lot of people, it's not quite enough.
Well, and I can understand and agree with you. Especially in the conspiracy realm, it gets pretty crazy. Of course, the UFO realm and the paranormal realm is fairly kaleidoscopic in its own right, But how about you? I mean, where do you come down? Where do you suspend your disbelief in terms of your spirituality, in terms of the things in your life that you hold dearly that you don't have physical scientific proof to ascertain one way or another, whether it's something that you need to suspend your disbelief about?
You know, I don't think I do suspend my disbelief. I think I do require proof. So things like, for instance, the Bible and so forth don't hold any weight for me, any particular weight for me. I guess I do act as more or less like an atheist, although really I'm more like Martin Gardner with sort of a vain desire that maybe there's something beyond, but I don't see any evidence for it. I'd like to see any evidence. I'm open to seeing evidence. That's one of the things that you know, people who I call believers, and I know that term sometimes makes people uncomfortable, but I think it should.
And there's believers, and then there's true believers, and there's a big difference.
Yeah, you know, I mean, these things are just shorthand ways of talking. It just is so long to say people who think this way or whatever. But what I was going to say is that they believe that there's somebody called a debunker. There's someone who is something called what they call a debunker. I'd be happy to be a debunker. You know, I think debunkers are needed. But in the form that it's used by the people that I'm calling believers, they're talking about someone who, if they saw real evidence, for instance, if I walked out in my backyard right now and there was a flying saucer landed on the ground in my backyard, I would turn away and deny that I ever saw it. And I just don't think there really is a person like that. And, you know, I hear that frequently people would describe Phil Klass in that way. I knew Phil Klass, and I'm telling you that is not accurate. That's not the way. I don't think that there really is a person who's a debunker as defined on these forums and things.
Well, okay, well, that leads me to a question that I had. How do you define where does a skeptic end and a debunker begin? So it's a debunker is somebody that will go into a complete place of denial about something that is obvious and a slam dunk situation or evidence, in other words. Is that how you define the difference?
Because it's not how I define it.
Let's talk about that. You claim, you proudly claim to be a skeptical person. Okay, what is the difference between skepticism and debunking?
Well, the way I would define debunking, and not everyone agrees with this definition, is someone who exposes some falsehood. For instance, debunking a particular claim.
Phil Imbrogno?
I wasn't going to mention him, but that might be an example.
That's one example that we should talk about very quickly. How did you come to want to check his educational credentials?
Well, you know, I heard him on several of the shows, particularly the Paracast, and I heard him talking, and you know, to me, his grammar was poor. And I'm not saying my grammar is great. I'm sure people are going to find fault with things I've said tonight.
Yeah, but you don't claim to have a doctor from MIT either.
Right.
Wait a minute. I saw somewhere on a website that the first thing that alerted you was, it seems like every time you saw a picture of him, he had his MIT sweatshirt on.
Well, that was the other thing. That shirt started showing up everywhere.
Well, maybe it's because he can't get it off. It's stuck to his skin.
Well, there were just too many mentions of MIT for my taste.
Hey, he had fake diplomas. He had a ring. He had a little shrine set up. That's pretty. That's not the sign of a healthy mind in my book.
Well, in some ways, I think he's kind of awesome because he got away with it for so long. But the thing is just that. And I never heard about the diplomas and all that.
That comes from an informed source who shall remain nameless.
Wow. Well, you know, for me, it was just I just became interested in it. But I also noticed that things he was saying in these programs, they just didn't have the ring of truth to for me anyway. And in particular, there's this one I mentioned this in my blog, is just this this idea. He started talking about Hynek because he knew Hynek and he wrote a book with Hynek. And he started talking about Hynek and Roswell, and he claimed, he told this story, this long story that involved a lot of detail, a lot of interesting detail. You know, he talked about they had ice cream and the kind of ice cream that Hynek liked and all this stuff, all these details that don't mean anything. And then he said that Hynek looked at him and said that he knew Roswell was fake. He knew it was that mogul balloon. And I realized that Hynek
died before any of that.
Yeah, before any of that was known. And I knew it instantly, but the person interviewing him, it wasn't on the Paracast, it was on another show, the person interviewing him didn't recognize that at all, just let it slide by. But it was such an obvious tell that something wasn't right about his story. And I find it fascinating that someone can just sort of, you know, confabulate things so quickly and so beautifully, because it was fun to listen to some of his stories sometimes.
Somebody brought up, I think, in one of the threads that I read at some point back then, and it brings up a really, really interesting point. Now, because we found out that Kevin Randall may have, you know, kind of taken liberties and stretched a particular reference, do we throw the baby out with the bathwater? I mean, does that call the rest of his work into question? How about Imbrogno? I think some of the things that I've read in Imbrogno's books are very impressive, and it shows someone who's really done some thinking about some of the subjects that he wrote about. Other things, I agree with you, just you kind of scratch your head and go, this sounds like he's writing kind of down to the lowest common denominator or reader here. I kind of gave him that benefit of the doubt over the course of several books. But where do you draw the line? Should Kevin Randall now be thought of as someone every single reference that he puts up there or states in a book or mentions on a show? Should we be checking up on this guy? Should we all be psychops and just kind of have everybody under microscopes? I mean, what are your feelings about that?
We'll get the answer from Lance coming up with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Yeah.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dream turns out to be true and thrusts him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now, the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details or to place your order, visit Rockoids.com. That's R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S, Rockoids.com.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluing. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth a zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
HempUSA.org has a newly designed website and a new and improved detoxification product. Order our new Microplant Powder Gold loaded with vitamins, minerals, iodine, and probiotics, and we'll send you our travel-size Microplant Powder absolutely free. Microplant Powder only at HempUSA.org. Call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608. And see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you only at HempUSA.org. Only this offer ends January 31st.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Check out StunGunMikes.com. They specialize in home and business security, family safety, and personal protection. At StunGunMikes.com, they have everything from mace pepper sprayers to cell phone stun guns and everything in between. Visit www.StunGunMikes.com for all your security needs. We even ship your products the very next day. That's www.StunGunMikes.com for real spy gear, real security, and awesome gadgets.
Are you looking for a great one-of-a-kind gift idea? Then look no further than www.daffgadgets.com. They have radio-controlled planes, helicopters, buggies, cars, and more. How about an insane horsehead pillowcase, MP3 accessories, or even an iPhone 5 wallet case? Visit www.daffgadgets.com and be sure to check out their featured gadgets page. Shipping is only $9.99 and is shipped within 7 days or less. Check out www.daftgadgets.com today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris, we have Skeptic Lance Moody joining us. And before we did our break, Chris asked a rather detailed question about Kevin Randall, some of his possible mistakes.
Oh, let me just mention that mistake that Kevin Randall made was an extremely minor one. It's not important at all. And if Kevin Randall told me something, he's one of the best of the researchers. He definitely knows the most about Roswell. I would trust just about anything he said to me
But you don't believe Roswell was a spaceship?
No, no, not at all.
I think it was something homespun, some sort of potential high technology that was being utilized by humans myself. I know you'll probably disagree with that, but I not for a minute do I think it was from elsewhere.
Well, let me just tell a little story, if I may, then, about... Yeah, I think it was probably Mogul, that Mogul's a good explanation, that it's a reasonable explanation. And the things that that people like Kevin and the other Roswell proponents come up with, I think they're minor things. They're conspiracy-type things that they talk about that don't really negate Mogul. They talk about little details that I don't think negate the story. But I was going to mention to you that the photographs that we have from Fort Worth that were taken, there's some debris there in the photographs. And the debris is clearly not anything extraordinary. It's not a flying saucer. Jesse Marcel, who was the guy that went out from the air base or from the Army base to pick up all the debris, he went out to Brazel's Ranch. He said in several interviews, in at least two interviews, maybe three interviews, he said that the stuff that I'm in the pictures with, the stuff you see me in the pictures with, is the same stuff I picked up. That, to me, is enough to negate Roswell right away. That's enough to destroy Roswell. Now, Kevin and the other guys, they just choose to say, well, he was mistaken. He saw he had misunderstood what the question was or something like that. But to me, that's a dead kill for Roswell. And so I don't think it really has to go much further than that. So was that clear the way I explained that? Because I'm not sure.
Well, it was clear to me. It doesn't explain the fact that Mac Brazel also said he was well aware of weather balloons that had been sent up and landed in the region there. He had seen some of them. It's all going off the top of my head. Roswell makes me break out in itches that I can't. I chase them to try to scratch them.
The crawlies when you talk about Roswell.
I went down to do a talk down at the International Museum down there, I broke out in a case of hives when I saw the alien mannequin dressed up in cowboy clothes at a clothing store. It just drove me nuts. But there are some interesting little tidbits in there. The memory metal concept, I think, is interesting. But again, I think this whole thing has been blown into this huge red herring. It keeps the believers focused on ancient history, water under the bridge, that in many ways will never, will never have a real definitive answer that everybody can agree on. But again, I think it's a red herring. I think there's a lot more important things like the Sherman Ranch case and other cases that deserve the kind of scrutiny and attention that Roswell has managed to. I mean, it's the biggest industry in that whole part of the country down there. I've often noticed the closer you get to Roswell, the more alien tchotchkes you see. And by the time you get into Roswell, it's like you're in some weird Twilight Zone episode. There's something wrong about that.
Well, I don't know why it seems fun to talk about. So I spend a lot of time talking about it with Kevin Randall and the other guys. I do have a story that I could tell you, but I don't know if we're up against a break or not.
No, you've got a few minutes.
You know, that debris that's in the picture, we believe that it's a neoprene balloon. And maybe the reason Brazel didn't recognize the debris is because it also had that radar target attached to it. At any rate, the neoprene balloon is, to my eye anyway, it's very degraded in the photographs, which means it would be hard to come up with it, or harder to come up with this degraded balloon to take fake pictures of. So anyway, Tim Printy, who's the great skeptic, he's a much better skeptic than I am, does a lot more work than I do, and his Sunlight magazine is an excellent skeptical about UFOs. Tim Printy decided to do a test and see how long it took neoprene to deteriorate in the sun. He did it up at his ranch, or I don't know if he has a ranch. He did it at his house in Connecticut, if I recall correctly. His results were that after about 16 days that the neoprene turned black and got sort of the look that it has in those photographs. It became brittle and so forth after about 2 weeks. Well, Tim did this test, and he actually asked me and a guy named, a guy in New Mexico to do the test. I begged him to not release his results from New Mexico right away, but to just give his Connecticut results, which he did in the first issue of Sunlight. I knew that the believers, that the Roswell believers would come up with all kind of reasons why the stuff that was tested in Connecticut doesn't match stuff that would have been tested in New Mexico. And indeed, they did. One particular guy wrote volumes and volumes as to why we were idiots and why certainly we should have tested in New Mexico, because the neoprene would have evaporated. Essentially, he thought it would have been gone. You know, you got the feeling that in just a few hours it would have turned to ashes. The problem is that we did test in New Mexico, and the results were roughly the same, about 2 weeks. But it shows you how conspiracists will write and will make up stuff to support their beliefs without any real knowledge. This guy wrote reams of stuff. I mean, he wrote paragraph after paragraph about how the neoprene would have deteriorated much faster in New Mexico, maybe 200-300% faster. But none of it was true. It sounded good. To me, that's a good example of what skeptics are up against.
Chris, I'll let you take it from there, Gene. You're the Roswell guy.
I'm a Roswell guy. I've never been to Roswell.
Did that story even make sense?
It makes sense to me. Not only are you a skeptic, Lance, you're a sneaky skeptic.
Absolutely. Sometimes you have to be a little bit sneaky.
Coming from me, that's a compliment.
Well, the thing I want to ask you here, Lance, is I agree that the Roswell case probably involves some kind of domestic test balloon or aircraft or whatever. Why has it become such a legend in the field?
It's a cool story. I mean, it's just a great story. It's fun. It's fun to think about. I mean,
because of the headline, let's get real. That headline, it's really hard to argue with the impact that has on the collective psyche.
Yeah, I agree with you. Have you guys ever thought about there's another episode in UFO history that I've always wondered why it never became more important. And that was when Donald Kehoe was silenced on the Armstrong Circle Theater program. To me, that's one of the coolest.
Oh yeah,
one of the spookiest.
Very good point. That is strange. They just cut him off. Back then, TV was live, and there was no 4 or 5 second delay. And that is, you're absolutely right. I think that there is some smoking gun implications there that have not been fully addressed.
You know, I want to mention that because when Major Kehoe was on Long John Neville's show, this must be in the late 50s, early 60s, and I was a teenager in Brooklyn, New York. And those days, you didn't have telephones necessarily communicating with John. He'd take telegrams from people.
Right.
I was spending the night at a friend, and we had my friend's mother agree to spend, I don't know, $15-$20 to send a telegram. So we asked Kehoe about this, and I'll tell you more about it in a moment. With Lance Moody joining Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Lunch is ready!
And it's an MRE smorgasbord at longlifefood.com. In 1983, Long Life Food Depot was one of the first to sell MRE pouches to the public, and we're still selling them almost 30 years later. Today, Long Life Food Depot has the world's most complete MRE online buffet, because MREs are all we do. Tasty varieties of chicken, beef, salmon, and pasta entrees, plus sandwiches and our easy-to-use pouches. Full moisture, long shelf life, and ready to eat hot or cold. We sell by the pouch or case, so the choices are endless. And so are the graduated quantity discounts. The more you buy, the more you save. Call 800-601-2833 or go to longlifefood.com to join our email list for upcoming announcements like the Rollaway Food Pod. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping. Just call 800-601-2833 or visit longlifefood.com. Emergency preparedness, emergency relief. Longlifefood.com since 1983, sending real food to your real future.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So let's go over the deal here. Kehoe mentioned this in one of his books, that he was asked to be on the show, but supposedly they had this fixed routine that he was supposed to read, I guess a script, or yes, at least an outline of what he was supposed to say. And as the show progressed, he got concerned over the fact that he couldn't reveal the real evidence he felt he should have brought forth. It was being censored. So finally, Kehoe got so frustrated or disgusted, he started to deviate from the script on the air. And, of course, what they do, there was no seven-second delay as we have now. You know, even on this show, by the way, on the Paracast, when it goes out over the GCN network, there is a seven-second delay. Sure, we vet our guests and we don't allow the seven dirty words to come in, but there is a seven-second delay, but not in the 1950s. So the producers and directors, seeing that Kehoe was deviating from the script, what did they do? They cut him off. And the question I asked Kehoe in that telegram was, knowing they would do that, why'd you do it anyway? And I was never satisfied with the answer. I know he felt that he had to get the truth across, but didn't it occur to you that maybe, just maybe, this wasn't the way to do it, or maybe he thought this was a good thing, you know? Do that, get the publicity, draw attention to himself.
Well, I mean, we know what he said. I mean, I think the text of what he said is known. It's not. It wasn't anything earth-shattering.
Right. But it was in his book.
What I was wondering was just why that episode has never but taken on the sort of the public fascination that something like Roswell did. Maybe not as important as Roswell, but to me, it was a cool, spooky. If I'd been watching at the time, I would have. I think it would have carried some emotional weight.
You know, I remember it reading it in the book and asking Kehoe about it. I thought it was just one of those things. I thought that Kehoe, you know, could have done it better, or if he was going to deviate from the script, in doing so in a more subtle fashion. But by being outrageous about it, maybe he hoped he'd draw attention to something, and it didn't work. As you say, you're the first person who's been on the Paracast to mention this episode. You're the first person who's mentioned it to me in the past 30 or 40 years.
Yeah, well, you know, I got super fascinated with all those early cases, and that's really what I know the most about, particularly the stuff that was around the Otis Carr stuff. And so I'm fascinated by all of those. Every one of the classics to me are interesting and worth talking about, even though I think that many of them have known conventional explanations.
Well, one of the things I wanted to get into is your motivations, and it's something that, you know, we've kind of talked about at forum.theparacast.com on a number of occasions. And one of the things that early on that I found out about you is your association with the Association for Rational Thought and your interesting little project that you spearheaded back, it's almost 20 years ago, called Skeptical Blurbs. Why don't you give our listeners a sense of where that idea came up with, kind of give a definition for us, and let's maybe talk about your motivations, your thinking, and how that type of approach has ebbed and flowed through the last 20 years.
Well, yeah, you know, I was a member of the local skeptical group, and the local TV stations would frequently run stories that were credulous, to say the least, things about ghosts and things like that. And specifically, we thought, well, it'd be great if we could respond to these stories, but you never know exactly what they are. But, you know, there's something to do with the paranormal, and nobody does this as a full-time job. So it would be nice if we had maybe something we could fax. This was back during the time when you would fax something. If we could fax one of these sort of position papers, sort of just the skeptical side of Loch Ness, for instance, or the skeptical side of Bigfoot. If we could just fax that to the TV station and then offer up someone from the group who maybe could talk about it to give the skeptical side of it, I think that was the whole motivation of it. And I don't think it ever worked. I don't know that we ever actually used it or did it, but a few of us wrote some of those skeptical blurbs, which are sort of like encyclopedia entries, you know, skeptical encyclopedia entries for various paranormal topics. So.
In show business, we call them boilerplates or something.
Yeah, just
fixed response in case something is published that's ridiculous. But most TV shows, when they get into something that's paranormal, they're in it for the entertainment. They're not there to investigate or tell us about something strange and unknown.
Well, you know, I mean, we were...
Well, not back in 1993 when this was originally proposed. It was a different world back then, Gene. It wasn't until, you know, the mid-90s, late 90s that... You know, Hollywood realized, hey, people really are into this stuff. Let's jazz it up and make some dough.
Yeah, you know? But in those days, they just smirk. You know, you'd have the talking heads or the happy talk people. Remember the happy talk newscasters? You still have them. Where between talking about ambulance chasing, murders and accidents and wars and famine and everything else, they would throw in, as kind of a human interest story, something related to maybe the paranormal or someone saw UFOs, but always with a smirk or a snicker.
Well, you know, nearby here in Columbus, there was a famous story of a girl who supposedly was possessed and that there were, poltergeist in the house and so forth, throwing things around. And I think James Randi went up there. He had the guys from the news station leave the cameras on while this girl, it was a teenage girl, typically these poltergeist cases involve teenage girls, but he had them leave the cameras on, and they caught her plain as day throwing something, and then pretending as though no one was looking, pretending as though it was a ghost. And that those kinds of stories, I think, were on the air, you know, in local news anyway.
What do you think of poltergeist cases? There have been some very, very impressive documentation of cases going back over 100 years. I mean, where do you come down on some of that? Do you think it's possible for some sort of manifestation of physical effects by a troubled teen, which is a commonly accepted explanation for real poltergeist cases? Do you even feel there are real poltergeist cases?
I haven't seen any evidence for any. And I haven't seen evidence that I thought was compelling for any, but I'd be open to seeing any evidence like that. I became, in addition to my interest in UFOs and Otis Carr, I became like super interested in the 1888 formation of the Psychical Society in Britain. And I read a lot of stuff about that, and there's some very interesting, formative ideas about ghosts and about spirits and that sort of thing. So those kinds of things are interesting to me, but all the evidence is, it's just not up to snuff.
You don't think there's any such thing as a true haunting or any sort of unexplained manifestation of effect that can be documented in scientifically?
I haven't heard of one.
Well, that's interesting. Listeners, take notes. Lance Moody is at forum.theparacast.com. I'm sure he would be more than interested to have anybody send him scientific proof that there is some sort of phenomenon called poltergeist.
My blog site might give you an idea of my thinking on the ghost, which is, notaghost.com. So that might give you some feeling about how I feel about ghosts.
Pretty self-explanatory there. You really have a, like Gene and I, a bit of an issue with the plethora of ghost hunting shows out there. And now they're using that same kind of boilerplated reality show approach in Bigfoot.
And UFOs.
UFOs. Poor James Fox. What do you think of chasing UFOs?
That was amazing. That whole thing. I don't know if you heard that stuff with Paul Kimball and James Fox, but that was embarrassing for him. He seemed to have threatened Paul Kimball with physical violence because Paul
Kimball. Yes, that was a rather low point in the initial backlash from the show being aired. Of course, we were the first ones, I think, Gene Wright, to have James Fox on just prior to the first episode.
Yes, we were. And we'll cover more of this in a moment with Lance Moody joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
For all women and men who wish their fingernails were harder, this Christmas, wishes come true. Introducing Nails of Steel, a new revolutionary nail hardener. Nails of Steel puts muscle into your soft nails with a creamy, rich, natural herbal formula that is antifungal, hypoallergenic, and biodegradable. Just massage a drop of Nails of Steel over your natural or polished nails and go. With Nails of Steel, there's virtually no drying time. Within the first week, you'll notice your nails getting stronger to eliminate breaking, chipping, splitting, hangnails, nails, and fungus. Nails of Steel makes a great stocking stuffer for women or men. And right now, get 3 1-ounce bottles for only $74.95. That's about a $5 price break on each bottle that'll last you for months. Visit nailsofsteel.com. That's nailsofsteel.com. Nails of Steel. It's like a salon in a bottle.
Attention, this is an announcement for our listeners who drive gasoline vehicles. Federal Consumer Protection has confirmed that there is now an automotive accessory that exceeds its own fuel-saving claims. Consumer Protection has confirmed that most gasoline vehicles will get 22% more miles per gallon with an accessory called Platinum 22. To find out if Platinum 22 will give your vehicle 22% more miles per gallon, you should call 1-800-LESS-GAS. You heard me correctly. 1-800-LESS-GAS. You heard me. Federal Consumer Protection has confirmed that the Platinum 22 accessory will deliver 22% more miles per gallon to most gasoline vehicles. You should pick up the phone and call 1-800-LESS-GAS to find out if it will help your vehicle. That's 1-800-LESS-GAS. 1-800-LESS-GAS. 22% more miles per gallon. 1-800-LESS-GAS.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs knows the importance of proper digestion.
Make sure you take a look at the ultimate enzyme product. They're made with bile salts and fat digestion enzymes and protein digestive enzymes. And not only do the ultimate enzymes give you obvious benefits for digestion, but they can also help keep your blood flowing through your circulatory system. As most of you probably know by now, thick, sludgy, clotting blood is a serious risk factor for heart disease and stroke. Clearly, inappropriate and excessive blood clotting is a major health issue, and thick, sludgy blood is not just about heart health either. Sludgy blood can compromise oxygenation and nutrient delivery to all your cells and tissues and organs and ultimately lead to almost any health issue you can name.
Concerned about proper digestion and heart health, order Ultimate Enzymes by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsidemen.com. That's brightsidemen.com. Order today.
This is Kurt Seven, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
So as we said with Lance Moody and Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we did talk to James Fox when his Chasing UFO show came on, and we gave him a fair presentation because James Fox is a pretty straight-ahead guy. He's done a lot of really good work, but this show, forget about it.
Is that show off the air now, or is it?
I don't know. I know they had a season one, and they were talking of a season two. Supposedly, the ratings were good.
Well, yeah, the ratings were good, but name me one other show, supposedly a news reality-based show that wasn't a drama, where two of the three principals publicly come out and slag their own program. I mean, what do you think about that, Lance? Do you think that that was just all a PR ploy and create some controversy? Or do you think that Ben and James actually were not happy?
I think they probably weren't happy. I mean, you know, I work in television, and I know how these things go. And nowadays, these shows are just, I mean, they really do follow a sort of a cookie-cutter format. And they're pretty terrible. I mean, the whole idea of going out and looking for things in the dark for some reason, it was so ludicrous.
Right, with 3 inches of water, too. I love it. You're looking for physical evidence in a water-soaked field at night with a lipstick can pointed in your face with a little light. I mean,
could we just wait till tomorrow morning, guys? And
I couldn't believe, and I asked him privately. I mean, come on, man! As soon as they strap that harness on you and put that camera in your face, I mean, why did you allow that? It's
that's what they wanted, so, you know. It's a bad position to be in, you know, he's in a job.
I really feel for the guy. I really like James. He's a really, he's actually a very good researcher and a very good journalist. He does dig into things pretty well. Of course, you would have problems with Out of the Blue and some of the other documentary work that he's done, I'm sure. But the cream rises to the top, and I've always considered James to be one of the guys that, hey, if you're going to get into this subject and watch and try to determine whether you want to believe or not, he would be one place that I would suggest going because he is a very good filmmaker.
Well, people love the stuff. I mean, they love those shows for some reason. You know, whenever the only thing that people ever read at my blog is the review I wrote a long time ago about Finding Bigfoot. And every time that show comes on, I have this huge spike in hits where people just, I guess they're just going on looking for a review. I never moderate or anything, but people come on there and they say their little piece about the show. About half the people say, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. And a lot of people say that, you know, it's entertaining. It's fun to watch. And I don't get a lot of people who say, I believe this. I believe in this show. I think people just like to be entertained. And I have to tell you, when I was looking at those ghost shows, when I first started my blog, I thought we'd write just reviews of these ghost shows. But that quickly ended up being a dead end because there's nothing much to write. When I watch those ghost shows, they are kind of fun to watch at first. But after a while, you realize, oh, my God, this is the exact same thing that happened last week. We're not going to see anything again. I think they're entertaining for just a certain segment of people. They just enjoy them. And I don't think it means dumb people or anything else. I just think that sometimes it's fun just to sit back and have a silly story told to you.
You know, it's interesting just in passing that Paul Kimball complaining about James Fox and his reality show. Of course, Paul Kimball was involved in his own ghost-type reality show at one time, too.
Yeah, I never saw that one, but, you know, he was doing that as a job, too. It's a job, and I don't know that he did anything wrong in that show or anything else. I think those shows are kind of silly, and I don't think they ever come up with anything in the form of evidence. They can be fun to watch in small amounts.
Well, I know a lot of people like the reality shows. I could never get into reality shows. I never watch them. I don't watch Survivor and all these other crazy shows. I'm just not interested. Certainly don't watch the Jersey Shore girls or whoever they are or the Real Housewives of Brooklyn. There may not be any show like that, but I have no idea because I don't watch them.
I haven't had TV in almost 7 years.
Oh.
I don't want it.
Well,
maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe I'm just, I have a good friend who dogs me about that. Well, you never know what's going on. And I said, I know more about what's going on in the world than you'll. All you know is who's the final four on America's Got Talent. You know, it's like, I don't know. What do you think of the media? I mean, you're in television. I mean, what do you think of this Gangnam? You know, just huge. I mean, we're talking.
Oh, you're talking about Psy. He's a South Korean rapper. And I've seen him interviews. A smart guy. He was educated in the U.S. He's a guy.
South Korean MC Hammer. He does that riding the horse dance.
Right, exactly.
He is a good dancer.
And yeah. He's kind of a, you know, short, stocky kind of guy. And he seems to just be, you know, enjoying it all, taking it in because he doesn't take himself seriously. Actually, the number of downloads is something like 500,000-600,000, but that's a lot.
You know, I really enjoy documentaries, and I saw one recently that starred Mr. Chris O'Brien. It was the Louis Theroux documentary on UFOs. I thought that was fantastically fun. I thought Chris came out looking well. You know, I have no problems with what.
Well, it was a comedy show, and I ended up turning the comedy around on the comedians.
What was your experience? I've never heard you talk about that. What was your experience on that show?
Well, it's interesting you should ask. Because everything was all done last minute, they were actually flying back from Las Vegas to London. They had been out to my house for 2 days trying to get some comedic fodder, and I just wouldn't give it up, and I just turned the tables on the whole time, and they got pretty frustrated and finally left. But with the promise, if something did occur, to give them a call if they were still in the States. Well, just as, you know, Providence would supply, I had a very, very intriguing cattle mutilation case that was reported to me by the Alamosa County Sheriff. I went out and checked it out and said, hey, Louie, if you're still around, come on out. It's not going to be fun, but, you know, you wanted me to call you? Come on out. So they came out. It was just above freezing, 40-mile-an-hour wind, nasty, no trees, no cover. The anus of that cattle was blowing out big gas bubbles from the fermentation of the vegetable matter in the stomach. The rancher's dog licked the blood from the eye socket that had apparently been, appeared to have been excised around the flesh around the eye and the mandible. The tongue was gone. And just watching these guys, you know, puking, getting sick, saying that image will remain in my memory banks for the rest of my life. Yeah, it was just, I was howling. Me and the rancher, I mean, the rancher was really ticked off that the case happened to his best breeding cow. But I ended up for not hitting the record button on my camera because I have a video camera that I record the entire soil sample gathering, the plant sample gathering, the forensic samples, what have you. And so later on, after they had returned to England, these samples were part of actual an excision site study. And we found some amazing scientific anomalies, actually. Of course, Lance would probably have a problem with the results. But
probably.
I was proud to be involved in the study, and I had the BBC actually document it. So I called the BBC and said, you guys messed me up. I need video. And so they made the mistake of sending me all their raw footage. I sat down and I created an entire transcript of what went on the site, and I published it in my second book.
Oh, well, you know, I like the part where you and Louis were together. It made it look as though maybe he was spending the night with you and you guys were friends and stuff.
Well, you were singing Ground Control to Major Tom. Yeah, he hung in my house for 2 days. I couldn't get rid of him. You know, I charge, you know, when these shows want to come see me or have me help them, I suck them in, these 22-year-old research, you know, people with wet behind the ears, they have no idea about the subject, and they're supposed to, like, you know, research cattle mutes or UFOs or hauntings or whatever. And I suck them in just far enough, and then I say, okay, time's up. And they say, what are you talking about? I'm still writing notes. I said, well, that's how much you get for free. Now you got to start paying me. And it's like, oh, what? So,
well, I thought it was a charming episode, and there was some funny stuff in there. There was a channeler guy, and
militia group that's there to protect the aliens when they finally arrive, and they have their uniforms and the competing Roswell crash sites. Louis had a really good show. It was one of the most popular shows on BBC Two, if I remember. It was on Sunday nights. It was a big deal, and I really liked Louis. I really liked the crew. I do have problems. The only times I've really run into major difficulties with productions have been British. They're sneaky. They lie sometimes. They kind of bait and switch you. You have to be really careful with them. But after about 40, 50 shows, I mean, I'm getting pretty good at it.
At least I hope the check didn't bounce. That's important. We got got Lance Moody joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.